So it's going to be really exciting because we have a special guest today. It's going to be like a couple, and they came here at IC Medan around, I think, 2 years ago. So Riandi, would you mind to introduce them?
Yeah, today we're so excited to have these conversations with our friend. We have Tim and Kelly. Yeah, like Stella said, you guys came 2 years ago, I think, to our IC Medan.
Yes,
you guys...
for Valentine's Day, I remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
For Valentine's Day, that's really good. Pastor Chris and Carrie send their best to you guys. So do you guys mind like introducing yourself too, like to
our audience?
Yeah, absolutely. We are Tim and Kelly. We did visit IC Medan a couple times. I think I've actually been twice. And Kelly came with me when she was incredibly pregnant.
With our first daughter.
Yes. So we do have two daughters, Amelia, who is now over 2 years old, and Elizabeth May, and we love to spell her second name M-E-I, because it's better that way.
And it's so, more Chinese, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why we chose it, because
absolutely.
It's, yeah.
So she's just over 2 months old.
Yeah.
What
that
did I
nice.
Miss in
I don't know. I think that's good.
Yeah.
We lived in Surabaya for a while, and I grew up in Indonesia for my whole life. So, yeah.
It's good to be back.
Yeah.
So, like, I think Tim and Kelly, you guys, like, were with ICE Surabaya, but right now you guys are in the U.S. So thank you for, you know, having your time to talk with us, like, during this conversation series.
Yeah, it's great to have you guys here. Maybe we're going to start with some icebreaker questions, like, to, you know, break the ice. So I have a question for Tim, like, what is your spirit animal, if you can name one?
anything that you can think of.
So if you ask anybody, any of the Bule missionaries, everybody agrees that I look like an eagle, like the bird. I don't know why. I don't choose that animal to be my spirit animal, but they all say that I look like an eagle. Maybe it's just... because I'm awesome, but I don't know. So maybe eagle.
Do you agree, Kelly?
In his look, yes. And like, you know, and eagles are like, you know, like this. So yes, I would agree. Overall, yes.
Thank you.
That is. Okay, it's time for Kelly. So if you could eliminate like one food that you would never eat again, like what would you destroy? Like you have this power.
That's a good question.
Oh my gosh. To never eat again.
Yes. Like one thing.
That's a good one.
Salad.
Salad? You don't like vegetables?
No, I like vegetables, but I don't like salad. I think it's a waste of time. I like real food. I like the food I would eat every day for the rest of my life. I don't know if that's a question, but it would be French fries. For sure.
We love French fries here. Like everything fried is like awesome.
French fries are life. So.
And this question is for Tim again. Like, what two things is Kelly good at?
Oh.
Be cautious. Kelly's right next to you.
And this will be on recording, so you can never take it back.
I think that this question might just be better answered with, Kelly is wonderful and gorgeous and perfect.
Oh, wow.
And think back to our sermon 2 years ago during Valentine's Day. I just want to leave it there. So I'm not going to fall into that trap because she is limitless. She is great.
Wow. Thank you.
That's
amen.
So awesome.
And I didn't pay him to say that.
No.
Okay, now the table is turned. So, Kelly, what do you think Tim is very good at? Like, two things.
Great, now I have to say the exact same thing.
Good luck.
Tim is in a serious good skill. I would say he's very good at being self-disciplined.
Aww.
So, like, if he wants to go on a diet, he's very good at following the diet and, like, breaking the diet would be like eating one piece of chocolate and I'm like, I ate five already. So he's very good at like self-discipline and he's a lot of fun.
We can see it though. Seems like, you guys compliment each other.
Yeah, you guys are like a fun couple.
sure.
So, like, you know, talking about this, like, for Tim and Kelly, like being a pastor, is this something that you guys, like, dream of, like, ever since, like, you were young? Like, how did you figure out, like, you want to become a pastor?
Ooh.
Good question.
Wow. Do you want to start, or do you
want to... Yeah, I'll start.
Okay, you start.
I think ever since... Because I grew up in a pastor's home, so I was exposed to it from the day I was born. But, you know, for a while, I just thought, like, oh, you know, I want to make a difference in people's lives, but I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to go into ministry. I don't want to do that. And then I, over time, I just kind of realized that the best way to spend your life is by serving others and is by not living for yourself, but it's living for other people and helping them realize their walk with the Lord. And when I realized how much that fulfills me, that's when I feel like, I was like, yeah, no, I want to be a pastor. Yeah.
Mm. That is awesome.
Wow. That was much better than my answer is going to be. I don't really know that I had a moment where I felt God tell me, hey, you should be a pastor. But I remember when I was in college, I just kind of felt like there's nothing else that I could imagine doing rather than investing in other people's lives. And over time, it's similar to what Kelly said, but over time, God just kept giving me opportunities to say, okay, invest in that person's life, invest in those people's lives, go over here and invest in those people's lives. And then as you continue doing that, you find these opportunities to say, well, pastoring can really do that. Mm-hmm. And I think we both fell in love with that. So
that is nice, yeah. Though, like, you guys found each other and, you know, you guys have, like, the same walk, like, together as a couple. I think, like, that's very important as well, to, like, have the same values in, like, relationship and, like, stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, when you were a kid, like, what would you be dreaming of to be, like, when you were a kid? When you haven't had that calling? Just for fun.
I wanted to be an actress.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in, like, Hollywood. Yeah. That's what I wanted
to do. You could have made it. You can still make it.
Thank you, honey. No.
It's still possible.
I believe that. No, I'm just
Amen.
Kidding.
I think, boy, I remember when I was really little, I wanted to be a dinosaur scientist. I wanted to go find dinosaurs.
And
I don't really know, because I don't think I understood what I wanted. I just remember thinking, I like dinosaurs, so let's do something about that. But I'm glad that didn't happen.
Me too.
Okay, so what about, like, your friends and, like, community? Like, were they, like, supportive, like, you know, when you said, okay, I want to become a pastor? Like, how did they react?
Yeah. No. I went to a high school here that was very, very, a lot of smart, smart kids. And all of my friends, I'm not kidding, like, one of my friends went to Harvard, another friend went to Yale, another friend went to Princeton, like, all of these really, really top schools. And they're like, where are you going to college, Tim? And I was like, I'm going to Bible college. And they're like, I didn't even know that was a thing. And I was like, yeah. And then so I talked to some of my teachers about it. And actually, one of my teachers called me to the office. And they were like, hey, your grades are really good. I think you should think about going to a different college because you're going to waste your time. And I was like, thank you for your opinion. But I've already decided. And I just kind of, like, left. So it's kind of unique whenever, you know, nobody else understands what you're doing. But yeah, I guess I just kept going for it.
Yeah, I think for me, my family was very supportive, obviously, because I was feeling like I wanted to do the same thing that they have done. So they were like, yeah, that's great. But when I was in high school, in my last year, I was in America, and a lot of my friends were like, what? Why would you want to do that? I wouldn't say it was fully negative, but it wasn't like, wow, that's amazing. And then even like when I would go to certain academic advisors and I would say like, oh, I want my major to be whatever, pastoral or something. And they're like, that's, you know, just in case you don't make it as a pastor, you should probably have a backup of education or a backup of something else. And I remember feeling like, oh man, but I feel called to do this. So kind of like Tim, I just kind of was like, nope, I'm gonna choose pastoral major.
So, like, you know, for, like, a lot of our audience, like, there's a lot of, like, young people, like, you know, maybe they are very confused on, like, you know, in these states, like, 20s, you just, like, graduate, and then they're kind of, like, not sure, okay, what is my calling, and, like, what is my purpose? So, like, do you have any advice, like, for them, like, on how, like, okay, how do I know that this is the part that God has created me to be?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, that is the question. That's a big one. And I think something that I'm learning and that I need to keep learning is that when you live your life and you prioritize the most important things, God begins to lead you because you're honoring him. And so what I mean by that is, like, priority number one, family. When you put your family first, when you put, if you're married, you know, I put Kelly first, I put my daughters first, I put my family members first, and I live a life that says, whatever I do, I'm always going to make sure I take care of my family. That's a priority for me. And if I do that, another way is church. Like, when I prioritize my church family and I invest in that church, whether it's with time or by giving, whatever it is, when I start doing things that honor God, he'll also begin to lead me. So it's actually really simple. Sometimes we think like, oh, I have to figure out the path and then I can invest. But in reality, you invest first in what's important. And God says, okay, good. Now I will show you the path. So I think it's just a different way to see the whole picture. And we clearly all can find priorities. We just have to make sure we pay attention to them. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I see it.
I think kind of leading off of what Tim said, it's, you know, when I was in college and I'm like, Lord, you know, I want to follow you the rest of my life. And, you know, you're saying all these grand things and maybe you don't know all the details and you need him to kind of figure out the details. What, something that the Lord spoke to me back a long time ago was, you know, sure, you want to give your whole life to me, but are you giving me your every day? Hmm. And it actually starts whenever you... like, after, like, of course, have the priorities of church family and your family and all this stuff, but number one, your relationship with the Lord.
Absolutely.
And, you know, choosing to honor him, like what Tim was saying, in every aspect of your life, not just when I go to church or not just whenever I'm on social media, but you're choosing to honor him in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. Every part of your life, whenever that's all lining up in the small details, you'll look back a year and you're going to say, oh my goodness, look at where the Lord has led me.
Yeah.
Kind of like what Tim was saying.
Yeah, the advice is really helpful, especially during this time. It's like a really weird season, right, for everyone around the world. Like, not just for the people, like young people who are deciding their future, but for like people who maybe they're like lost their job due to this corona. And then they feel like they're not doing anything. They feel like they didn't have their purpose. So that's a really good like perspective that you guys bring up. Yeah. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, I really love that though, because like, yeah, it's like Riyandi said, like a lot of people are confused and like, you know, sometimes like, you know, they said like, okay, purpose and calling is like a big thing, but they're kind of like confused on what to do. But, you know, actually, you know, we can start with the like little things, like just spending time with God. And I think like sometimes, yeah, I think it's a very interesting aspect that I hear that we invest first, because, you know, not a lot of people can think of that. It's just like, okay, they are kind of hoping like, okay, what can God give through me, and like instead of us like trying to invest, because like it's like you said, it's a relationship with God, like it works both way. So I really love like that kind of like thinking. So relating to this, like, do you think like purpose, is it related to what you do? Like, it's kind of like, is it related to the job? And do you think like these two things are the same?
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
good question.
You guys are getting heavy now. Wow. So I also think, you know, we just talked about calling and what God wants to do in your life. So a couple things that the Bible talks about is we are all called, you know. So once you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, he has called you to fulfill his mission. So wherever you are, whatever you do, whether you're a pastor or whether you're not, you know, we are all called to start and to complete his mission, which is saving people. And so everybody has a calling and everybody needs to invest in that calling. So that's what we just talked about. Your purpose in life. And there are different people who have said different things, but they all kind of come back to the same point. Our one purpose in life is to love God. You know, we love God because he loved us. We love God because of who he is, not just because of the good things he does. And so sometimes we're so happy. It's like, you know, if you have a relationship and somebody does something for you, you're like, wow, I really love you and I'm really happy about that. But I love my wife even whenever it's not good. And she loves me when it's not good because I love her. And so our purpose in this life as people, as humans, is to say, I know God and he found me and he loved me and I love him. And my life now is to fulfill his mission. It is to answer that calling. But my primary purpose is to say, Jesus, I love you. Mm-hmm. And when we realize that purpose, you know, we'll stop searching for other things. We'll stop searching for things to fill our lives, to make us feel happy or to make us feel like we accomplished something. It's really that simple, because it's like that feeling you get when you're in a worship service and you just feel the presence of God. It's because that's what you were created to do. And it's so easy. Like, we went to church on Sunday because some churches are open here, which is amazing. And so we went and we worshiped and we were like, wow, I missed that because I was literally created to be in the presence of God. And I can actually do that every day. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that's what it means to have purpose.
I totally agree. And sometimes, like, we hear, I'll be like the non-pastor side. This is the pastor side. I'm the non-pastor side.
No.
Sometimes whenever you hear a pastor say all those things, you're like, yes, that's great. But really, what am I supposed to do? Like, sometimes realistically, you're sitting there asking the Lord, like, what job should I have? Mm. You know, what am I supposed to work for my family's business? Am I supposed to do something totally different, like what God is asking me to do? And this is what I'll answer. It's still vague, so we can't exactly give you the formula because it's each person's walk with the Lord. But I will say this. God never wastes what you're doing or what's happening to you. So kind of like what you were saying, like if you've lost your job because of COVID or, you know, your family's business is going under. Sorry, I don't know if you can hear our daughter screaming, but
all right.
It's okay.
That's real. But especially like if you're a young mom like me, you know, before I had kids, I had all this freedom. I had all this stuff I had dreams of. And then now it's like, you're basically going to stay home. And, you know, especially with COVID, it's like even more like you will never leave your home ever again is basically what is happening. And the Lord just keeps telling me, which I feel like is an encouragement for people maybe who don't know what they're doing. And because of COVID, it's kind of like pause too. God never wastes anything. And if you choose, kind of like what we were talking about earlier, if every detail of your life you're choosing to put the Lord first and honor him and invest in what he wants you to invest in, he will never waste a season of your life. Mm. And so if you don't know what you're supposed to do or you're trying to figure it out, your purpose, just realize that God isn't even going to waste your searching too. So.
Yeah, I really like what you said, because like even like I believe like even, you know, there's a lot of like seasons in our life, but you know, whatever you are in right now, like even though you don't like what you do or like you don't like what you're doing, but you know, God has put you in that season for a reason. And like, you know, I think he really sees our effort. Like, you know, if you do best in what he put you in, then, you know, he will give you something that, okay, you might not expect like in the future. So I think I really believe in that as well. I think it's a very good encouragement, even for me. I really love it.
Yeah, that's really good. Like, because I think lately I also like keep being encouraged by that kind of thought. Like, no matter what decisions like we might be taking, like God would always be there. Like, even though like during this time, maybe your career path is like I don't know, it's like very different from what you think of. But you know what? No matter what path we are on, like God is there, and then God will always guard us. So it's okay. Yeah. It's really good.
Thank you. So, like you know, you guys are like young parents right now, and like how do you balance everything though, like between relationship, work, church? I think like a lot of us like want to know that.
Yeah, you guys are doing awesome job. This is not just for the couples, like only for
single
people.
Just for the record, we look awesome right now. Maybe we don't.
Because
actually,
we have that setting on Zoom. I don't know if you know this, but there's a setting on Zoom that's
like touch-up.
Touch-up my appearance. So that's why we look so good. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's probably helpful. But in reality, mm-hmm. it is not easy. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because I think we're awesome. Yeah. Any leader that you look at or any friend that you have that, you know, is like, wow, those people are amazing. They also are looking at other people saying the same thing. You know, people say like, how do you do it? You have two kids. And we're like, we don't think we're doing it. We think that we're doing like an okay job.
There's this like GIF on WhatsApp. And it's like, if you search like, this is fine. There's like a dog like sitting in a room with like fire. And he's like, drinking coffee. And he's like, this is fine. This is fine. It's funny. If you should, now that you're watching this on Sunday, you should look it up on your WhatsApp.
Yeah, well,
but well, pay attention, but then look it up later, you know. But that's how we feel almost 100% of the time. It's like everything is crashing and burning all around us, and we're just like, this is fine. We're fine. We're okay. Everything's okay.
yeah. I mean, I think the reality is, you know, we're both like younger parents, and we got married pretty young and had kids right away.
Yeah.
And we often think back, like, what if we would have not done that? Like, what, we would still have quiet and, you know, we would do all these things. But at the same time, I would never be able to come home and hear my daughter say, Daddy, you know, or like get to do things like that. And I think for me, and I'm not kidding about this because I used to be a children's pastor, everything goes back to Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. And I'm serious. Like, if you step into the role of husband or dad or pastor or whatever, you have a ton of responsibility and power, but there's a lot more blessing that comes with it. And God increases his blessing as he gives you things to take care of. And so the way I look at it is, yes, my life is chaotic. Kelly's life is more chaotic because she's cooler than I am. And God gives us grace. And we actually love life now more than before we had kids. So it's a good thing.
I just have to hold on to the hope that I just told you like 5 minutes ago that God will not waste any season. So even when two kids are crying at the same time for I don't know why, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I do? I just realized that even in those moments, God is not going to waste it. And there's going to be something that comes from it. And I just have to hold on to that hope.
Yeah.
Nice. So the secret to balance everything is God.
Yeah.
That's really good.
And a wife. And a wife, Friandis.
And a wife.
This will encourage all of our young audience to have relationship and like to have partner as well.
Maybe.
But hey, the next question is like, can you think of, you know, a character from the Bible or like an event from the Bible that could really encourage people like, during this season? You know, like, especially this is getting weirder because things looks like they might be getting back to normal, but it's not. But then it's just like a weird season. Do you have any encouragement, like maybe a character from the Bible that we can remember or like?
Character in the Bible.
Or like an event.
Well, in the beginning of this, you know, I was joining these like women's ministry Zoom calls, and the lady who was leading it was talking about Noah and how Noah was quarantined or cooped up in an ark for 40 days and 40 nights, right? Isn't it 40 days and 40 nights? Exactly. Something like that. And, you know, only with his family, but then with hundreds of animals. In a boat.
That's a horror part.
And the thing that we can learn from that is just that God gave him everything that he needed during that time. The Lord asked him to be there. So, I mean, right now we're all kind of stuck in our homes or really being careful, socially distancing. And God gave Noah everything that he needed during that time. Yeah. And maybe we're in a season where we realize, you know what, I don't need to go out as much as I did. Or we're able to reconnect with our families. Or it's opening windows, opening doors.
You can open a window.
I guess you can open. God,
can open windows too.
Sometimes you can walk through a window.
So God will give you everything that you need when you ask him.
Yeah.
And he will go before you. Yeah. And he knew that he was the one asking Noah to build this ark and let the animals come in. And he's the one that sent the animals. Noah didn't even have to do that. So that's my Bible character.
I'm totally going to steal Kelly's character. And I actually do this a lot. And then
he always steals my...
She gets really mad at me, but...
Ideas.
The best artists steal things. So Noah is actually a great example because I have been feeling like many of you have, like you both have said, many of us just feel like, what are we doing? Like, what happens next? I feel like every day has been the same. Like, it's been 4 months of the same day over and over again. And so I heard a pastor one time. I'm sure you guys are familiar with Mark Batterson. He's a famous pastor, author. If you're not, you should look him up. But one time he was talking about Noah. And we all love to talk about, like, how he built the ark and how he put the animals in the ark. But then he kind of asked a really important question, and he said, Noah lived in the desert. Where did he get all of the wood? And I kind of paused, and I was like, that is a great question. And so if you read the Bible, there's only one verse, but it says that Noah used a specific kind of wood from a specific tree that actually didn't grow where he lived. And so at the very beginning of this whole message from God, Noah had to go and plant trees. So Noah went, and if you read the history, Noah actually planted trees, and each tree, on average, took 50 years to grow. So I can't imagine getting a message from God that said, hey, you're going to build an ark. All right, but go plant some trees. I would, every day, I'd be like, did the trees grow yet? Or, hey, look, there's a little leaf. Like, he waited 50 years.
Just for the trees.
Just for the trees. Yeah. And then he had to chop them down mm-hmm. and make the wood, build the ark. And I can just imagine that Noah had some crazy patience. And he trusted God. And he said, someday, mm-hmm. I'm going to be able to cut these trees down. And I'm going to be able to build that boat. And we're going to follow through with God's promise. But 50 years is a long time, a lot longer than 4 months. Mm-hmm. And so if Noah can do it, maybe I can do it.
Maybe.
But Noah's a good example.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Noah, like, we can really relate to his story.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've never, like, really thought about, like, the trees and everything, but it's amazing to see, like, how, you know, God plan everything. I think it's this almost like similar to our conversation last week with Pastor Chris and Carrie. Like, we talk about like a lot of like the waiting seasons, but you know, just being patient is very important. So like, do you have any tips on like, okay, how do you keep yourself like sane like during this time?
Tips. As you can see, we also need the tips.
Maybe like a message or a challenge for each one of us to like remember.
Wow, kind of putting me on the spot. No, I'm just kidding.
It's all right. It's all
I should have been ready for this. You know, I think the most important thing right now is that we don't allow. Actually, it's related, but it's also kind of its own little suggestion. You can spend so much time researching and listening to the things around you, especially right now. So what I mean by that is Corona or the news or the economy. It's like everybody wants to know what's going on. And so we're guilty too. We do this too. We watch the news, we read things on the internet, And before long, you realize all you think about are those things. Like, it really goes back to what we talked about at the beginning. When you think about things that are around you instead of what your priorities are, you will eventually only be living for the things that are on your mind. You know, you only think about Corona. You'll only think about the economy. You'll only think about this or that. And instead, God says, I want you to focus on me. And to practically do that, I'm not saying we shouldn't watch the news. I'm not saying we shouldn't read things on the internet. But when it comes to the point where that's all you're talking about, mm-hmm. like every conversation with your friends is about COVID, or every conversation with your friends is about the economy, you know, we're not asking each other how we're doing. We're not praying for each other anymore. We're not doing ministry with each other because, you know, we're excited about it. We're doing it because it's like, well, we have to get online because we can't meet in person, like, or whatever the reason is. Mm-hmm. We need to make sure that our attention is still focused on Jesus, not just the things that are around us. And that would be a suggestion that we recently have had to adjust in our life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think something that I heard in the very beginning of all of this is, and so I didn't make this up, I am stealing it from somebody else, but it's my dad.
Me?
So no, it was my dad. Sorry.
Just kidding.
It's not like if you're asking the Lord, like, you know, why is this happening? Why are you doing this, Lord? But instead of asking questions of why, you need to ask questions more of like, what are you going to do through this? What is the purpose of this? Like, what do you want me to do during this time? And we have all this time on our hands all of a sudden, you know, and not all of a sudden, I guess by now, but we still have all this time. And it's a time where we can just ask the Lord in our day-to-day lives. It's not like we're like going to pray for 24 hours, but what I mean is like in the moments where you're like, ugh, this is not my ideal life right now. That's when we can ask, okay, Lord, but what are you going to do through it? Mm-hmm. What are you going to birth a refreshing of your Holy Spirit or whatever it is, Lord, what are you going to do during this time? So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for this conversation. Would you mind guys praying for us, like for everyone who's like going through this season, you know, like, do you guys mind
Absolutely. Something
in prayer for us?
Yeah.
Absolutely. How about?
You can do it.
Okay. All right, Lord, we just want to first thank you, and we want to say, God, that we trust you. We know that our lives are always in your hand, and just to think the fact that you formed us from a very small baby, God, even before we were born, you formed us, and you took care of every part of our lives, and you brought us into this world, and you helped us grow and develop and become the people we are today, and so we look at this part in our life and we look in this part of the world and we say, God, we do trust you and we do thank you. And as people who love you, we want to serve you. We want to follow your calling. We want to follow our purpose in life that you've given for us. And sometimes that's the most difficult thing to figure out. And so even with those questions, God, we choose to just say, I surrender it to you. I really don't understand how it happens. And sometimes that's frustrating, but I do know who you are. I do know that you are good. And all you ask us to do is to love you. And all you ask us to do is wait for you. And so, God, I pray that as we do that, that you would make yourself known. God, that your glory would come. I pray for IC Maidan.
Yes, God.
Lord, you are doing incredible things through them. You are doing incredible things that go beyond them. God, you're doing things that will last forever. And I pray, Lord, that you would put those things, God, that you would put those moments of victory. And I pray even in the challenges, deep down in the heart of everyone from IC Maidan, that they will never forget who you are. Mm-hmm. And God, that they will stand upon your firm promises and say, yes, the Lord will finish what he has started. Mm-hmm. And I believe that for IC Maidan. So God, use them. Mm-hmm. Bless them until we can see them again. Mm-hmm. And we thank you so much for them. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you for having your time with us. And, you know, we're going to pray for you guys as well, even for, like, ICA Surabaya. We really hope that you guys can get back to Indonesia very soon.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, this
Absolutely.
Was so fun.
Yeah, we should do this again sometime.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bye.
See you.
Bye.